Today's reading comes from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 4, verses 8 through 16. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace and in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. The word of God for the people of God.
So last year on the 4th of July, I took my wife and children to DC to the Lincoln Memorial to see the fireworks. And something that was on my to-do with the family list for a couple of years before we were reunited. And many of you know that I came to the United States to live here as a refugee in 2010. And I had to wait for 4 long years before I got my status and was able to bring my family to live in the U.S., to live with me. And during those 4 years, friends here at Florus suggested the places, different places that I should visit with my family. And sometimes people asked during summer that if I had any vacation plans. And my answer would be that I would do that when my family comes. And during that period of time, I was only imagining that how would it be like to visit those places with my family, with my wife and the children. My family arrived in November 2014, and it was then when we all visited those different places together, places like New York City, Niagara Falls, D.C., and the museums in this area. And friends suggested using the metro to go to D.C. on the 4th of July. And I remember that day so well that I can feel that I am there right now. My wife and kids are so excited because for them, it's an opportunity to experience the metro ride, which they have never had before. And they enjoy it a lot and feel even thrilled when the metro goes underground. And sometimes they ask the question, they're not sure that the metro is really underground and keep asking, is the metro going really underground? And sometimes the kids, they look at their mother, ask for a confirmation, and Rupa herself is amazed because something that she had heard about is now real. And they are in a new world now. And finally, when we reach at Lincoln Memorial, and find a multitude of people there. And these are very heartwarming moments to see the excitement of people celebrating freedom. And after some time, the fireworks begin. And we all stand there in awe and see all that. And my wife and I are speechless as we witness the joy and the happiness of those celebrating freedom and remembering that America is a free nation. And beautiful and mind-blowing fireworks in the skies proclaim that America is a free nation. This weekend, we are celebrating the 4th of July again. So my family and I say to all of you again, happy 4th of July. God bless America abundantly. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, my rock and redeemer. Amen. In Pakistan, it's difficult to be a Christian, where the Christians are in a tiny minority, making only 1.5% of 190 million population. And it takes a lot to practice the Christian faith there. Even in 21st century, men, women, and children have to live under threatening circumstances. And Christian men, women are sometimes, they are forced at the gunpoints to abandon their Christian faith. And many Christian men and women are persecuted because of their Christian faith. And setting Christians' villages and homes on fire out of religious hatred has become something easy and acceptable thing to do. And sometimes with the hidden support of the political and the law enforcement forces, but most of the time, it is done openly by those who follow a distorted version of Islam. And raping innocent girls, burning people, sometimes couples together alive, often follows in the local news as well as international. So experience of discrimination and persecution in one form or the other is a story of most Christian families living in Pakistan. And I am one of those who has firsthand experience of discrimination and persecution as a child as well as an adult. Let me take you back. I'm about 6 years old, and it is my first day of school. And I am so excited because I am going out in the world. And my small village is the whole world for me. And I sleep either with my grandfather or grandmother because they would tell me the stories. And that morning, I wake up earlier than the usual because I was going to school. And one of the reasons of my excitement was that I would wear new clothes, though it has to be a uniform. So my mother bathes me and dresses me up in the newly stitched uniform and sends me to school with my grandfather. And the school is on about 40 minutes walk from my home. And when we reach there, my grandfather leaves me with a group of boys of my age who are sitting on mats under a tree. And he tells me that that was my class, and he would come back to take me back home. I lay my small mat, which my mother has given me, and sit in the front row, because my mother has strictly advised me to sit in the front. And after a few minutes, the teacher comes with a register in his hand, and he sits in his chair and starts calling our names, followed by the name of our father. When he calls my name, and then he calls my father's name, which has Masih as a part of his name, and Masih is another way of saying Messiah or Mashiach, and the teacher stops. He looks at me and asks if I am Christian. And I say, yes, I am Christian. He looks at me this time with anger and asks what I'm doing here. Go back and do not dare to sit here on the front again, he shouts. And I pick up my mat, come to the back, scared, confused, deeply hurt, not knowing what wrong I have done. This was my first experience of discrimination, which I later learned occurred because of my Christian identity. It was horrible, and it left its mark so deeply that even today, I feel sometimes anxiety when I sit on the front. And it does not end there. The worst is yet to come. I was not allowed to drink from the same tap, but somebody else would pump the hand pump, and I would drink water like receiving communion. If I would touch utensils of others, that would become unclean for a Muslim. And there were various occasions when I had to hide my Christian identity to eat food or to drink water in public places. And after a few years, when we moved to the city, and I went to the college and the university, the ways of discrimination and prejudice felt less, but actually had greater impact. People were more educated and less bothered about my identity as a Christian. They would eat and drink with me. Yet I was discriminated in many other ways and left out in my academic life and later in professional life. I worked hard in school to become the first in my family and among a few Christians who would go to a graduate school. I worked in night shifts to support myself during most of my schooling. And I worked extremely hard to be among the top 3 position holders in the graduate school to get the scholarship to go for higher study, to go abroad for higher study. But despite holding 3rd position in the graduate school, I could not get the scholarship. And I talked with my department head, and I cannot forget what he said. This is what he said. He was a good person. He wanted to help, but couldn't. And this is what he said. Nadeem, I know, and you know that too, that why couldn't you get it? I wish I could do something for you. And this was a way of punishment for me for being Christian. After I graduated, I started a business. And though I became successful, the challenges of being Christian became even severer. There were many times when a business deal was about to mature, but when the people would know my Christian identity through my ID card, the deal won't go through. And sometimes I would just cherish that loss. Because of Christ, it was Christ that I suffered. But there were times when I got angry, frustrated, discouraged, and questioned God, why these sufferings and trials for Christians? And the more success I experienced, the more the challenges grew. The animosity was coming out of jealousy, out of a sense of superiority, and because of religious hatred. It turned to be life-threatening when my Muslim friend converted to Christian faith. It was then when that animosity became physical and so alarming that my friend had to flee to Canada to save his life, and a few years later in 2010, I came to live here in the United States, and here I am today. And my story is not the only story of this religious hatred, persecution, or injustice. But most of Christian families living in Pakistan experience the same in one form or the other. And if someone asked me that how I endured this suffering, I would say two things. First, the belief that I was sharing in suffering with of Christ. And second, the hope of everlasting life, the crown of life that we receive from Jesus. And this is what Apostle Peter refers to in this epistle to his audience during the time of severe persecution of the Christian church under Nero, the Roman emperor. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you. Peter suggests those under persecution not to be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on them. Christians were being executed in an excessively cruel manner at that time. And fiery ordeal was a test in ancient time and still exists in some part of the world. And in this test, someone who is accused of a crime has to walk on the burning coals to prove their innocence. And if, after walking on the burning coals, the foot remains unburned, it is considered as a proof of innocence from God. Something sounds ruthless and inhuman, but this is the kind of the trials and temptations that the early church, early Christians are facing at that time. Remember that Peter is talking to new converts who are new to Christian faith and are facing severe persecution. And he encourages them that it is a test of their Christian faith, and they ought to be successful in that. And I believe that these people already knew about Christ's own suffering through what Peter has preached them already. And he is in some way reminding them what Jesus has said about the suffering, about the persecution. If the world hates you, be aware that it hated me before it hated you. Remember the word that I said to you, servants are not greater than their master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. Peter does not want his audience fall into the laps of false hopes to expect that others will live with them at peace. He goes even further and encourages them to rejoice in that horrible suffering. Seriously? How one can rejoice in such serious and inhuman suffering? But Peter gives us the reason. He gives us the reason. And the reason is that to suffer for Christ is to participate in his suffering. And I like NRSV translation for this verse better. That translates, you share in Christ's suffering. So if you suffer, you actually share in Christ's suffering. You share in Christ's suffering that you may be overjoyed when the glory is revealed. It is already and yet to come a version of salvation. Peter suggests the persecuted church. They can already rejoice. But when the glory is revealed, means when Christ comes in his final victory, in his final glory, they will rejoice exceedingly. They will be overjoyed when receive the crown of life. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. Persecution and insults because of the name of Christ, do not seem fitting in the context of life in America. Because no one in America today tells a 6-year-old child never to sit on the front because of the religious identity. No one has a fear of being insulted or even tortured for touching the tap to drink water or using utensils. No one calls you the names that no one would want to be called. And treating others lower than humans are much more than merely the insults that not only damage the human abilities, but also have and leave irreparable marks on the personalities of the victims. On the other hand, in America, everyone enjoys the freedom, regardless of religious affiliation. No Muslim, no Hindu, no Sikh, no Buddhist, you name any religion, is discriminated or treated ill. Because over the centuries, history has taught us that no one should suffer such indignity, no matter to what religion, race, or ethnicity one may belong to. And this is because of the Judeo-Christian heritage that has led America to believe in and practice equality. My wife and I were speechless because of what we witnessed at the Lincoln Memorial on the 4th of July. The joy and the happiness of celebrating freedom was so moving for us. It'll be my 6th year in America in December this year. And I have no words. I have no words to describe what it feels to be a Christian, free to follow Christ fearlessly. I have no words to describe that. I have no fears that the police will humiliate and refuse to provide protection from the extremists. I have no fears that my house and property will be set on fire by an angry mob motivated by wrong religious interpretations. Instead, it feels like I'm breathing in a fresh air. It is different. It is different to live as a free human being and as a free Christian. This is a freedom to me and to my family. I feel different. There is another kind of freedom I want to talk about today. Freedom that we receive in Christ. A far greater freedom, a far greater everlasting freedom. Far greater and everlasting freedom. And Apostle Paul reminds us about that freedom in his letter to Galatians. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Freedom that Paul refers to in this verse is absolutely different from the freedom that we celebrate every year. Paul speaks about a freedom to have life in community. He speaks about a freedom for mutual service to each other in love. And this freedom breaks the chain of our self-centeredness and frees us and enables us to love others, to focus others. This freedom is far greater than any other kind of freedom. It can't be earned through human efforts. But we receive that from God as a gift. This is the freedom that enables us to take risks. Risks of loving others, risks of sharing Christ with others, and risk of sharing this freedom in Christ with others. Friends, I who has experienced discrimination and persecution, who has longed for this freedom as a Christian, want to say you something very important this morning. You are free. You are free people, free as a nation and free as Christians. Celebrate it and do not take this gift for granted. But appreciate this blessing as much as you can. Ask Christians who live in Pakistan, who live in Iraq, who live in Iran, who live in Afghanistan, who live in China. Who desperately want to live risk-free lives. They always live in a fear of persecution. Yet they take risks and not only practice their Christian faith, but they share that faith with others. Ask this question to yourself this morning. When was the last time when you used this gift of freedom in this free country as a free Christian and shared your faith, took the risk and shared your faith with someone? Or, despite this freedom, you act like those living in danger. Am I judging you? No. Am I saying that Christians who are persecuted are better Christians than you? No. All I am saying is that you are blessed people, free to talk and free to share. Appreciate this freedom not only once in a year, but every day when you wake up. And use this freedom for Christ's sake, to share that Christ with others. My family and I are going to the Lincoln Memorial this year again to celebrate and appreciate our freedom as a nation and most importantly, as free Christians. So, enjoy your freedom. Celebrate this. We are celebrating that with you too. God bless America abundantly. Amen.